It's the LGBT Chat Podcast, a space for LGBTQ friends and allies to share personal stories, current events, and life endeavors. Hosted by Aida Ramirez.
Hey guys, you're listening to the LGBT Chat Podcast. Joining us tonight, this is your host Aida, and Angel's here tonight. Welcome back,
hey.
Angel. We have a special guest tonight, guys. We said we were gonna try to stop saying guys, right?
Right.
Lovely, lovely humans out there listening to us.
Y'all.
We have a special guest tonight, Anthony. Anthony has a lot going on that is way too cool for school. And I don't know how I would begin to describe what you're doing, the illustrations that you're doing. Welcome, Anthony. Talk to us.
Thank you so much for having me on my show, or on your show, I should say. Thank you so much for having me on your show. I'm honored. It's a blast.
Yeah, talk to us. Tell us exactly what I can't put into words.
So I have a day job with a software company in Silicon Valley, and I'm also president of the Silicon Valley Gay Men's Chorus Board of Directors. But I am especially pleased to be sharing with y'all that I'm working on an animated feature film about a drag superhero named Maxie Lowow. And this movie will make history as the first animated feature film about a drag superhero. So it's exciting.
Yeah. So we, Angel and I, just watched like a little glimpse of something. When is this out?
So we're currently recording first part of September, and we will be launching officially an Indiegogo fundraising campaign September 15th. And along with this fundraising campaign, we'll also be launching a two-minute, I'm calling it an adventure reel, because the film is animated and it takes like 2 years to do all of the animation. So what we did was we created this sort of concept video, 2 minutes long, showcasing some scenes from this movie and a few scenes from some potential future storylines. We really hope that after this film, you know, reaches theaters in 2024, that we'll be able to launch a TV series or launch additional movies in the series.
So this really is just a tease, what we saw. You're just,
yes. Like,
good. So do you do drag?
I don't personally. And the last time I put a dress on was probably 2008. Well, 2008 with some friends in Provincetown. We went out, we did two nights of drag. It was a total blast. But I'm a professional drag entertainer now.
I think the last time I wore a dress also was 2008, but I wore one today. Because we're now in Vegas and it's like 120 something degrees sometimes. What made you create this? Like, was this just your idea, or was this just a collaborative effort?
Well, you know, the short answer is probably something to do with cannabis, an evening spent too long on Netflix. We are in California after all. Yeah. No, honestly, originally I came up with the idea about 2 years ago. And, you know, I've been inspired by some of the, you know, the really kind of interesting ways that drag is being presented in entertainment, sort of post RuPaul's Drag Race and post, well, you know, Dracula also, that amazing reality series also on TV. And, you know, we're seeing drag kind of like come out in entertainment. So there is a comic book hero in Marvel that's been in, I think, two books so far. We're seeing a trans superhero on Supergirl. And we've seen this kind of fun adult animated cartoon on Netflix called Super Drags. And that's a very adult, but it's beautifully animated, fantastic voices. And I got this idea, maybe all this has been bubbling around in my head, and maybe also because I did a series in high school called Murgatroyd the Super Chicken. Maybe Murgatroyd's popping around my head, and maybe Simon's a Mexi is kind of a manifestation of Murgatroyd. Who knows? And then last year, well, I'd say kind of, you know, having an idea and then deciding to move forward with it are kind of two different things, you know. And I turned 50 recently.
No.
Even though, of course, you may say I look 38. That's okay.
No, you did not.
And then last year in January, around MLK weekend, I suffered a detached retina. And my left eye kind of imploded. I had two surgeries. The second one, not to get too graphic, but that involved removing all the gel from my eye and, you know, basically laser suturing the retina back to the back of my wall.
Well, this just took a turn.
I know, it did, kind of. And then I spent a week with, like, face down in this massage chair. Actually, I spent about 2.5-3 weeks altogether, like, in recovery from these two different surgeries. I watched a lot of TV, and I kind of ran out of fun, entertaining things to watch that had LGBTQ themes. You know, so much of what our media is that's easily streamable is a coming out show, which can be really heavy. But then again, I love Simon. That's amazing. So much fun. Or it can be like AIDS crisis related, which are, again, amazing stories. The Normal Heart is freaking incredible, but I cried for like 6 months afterwards, I think. You know, and I just was not in the mood for something heavy like this. And I resolved, okay, I've got a great story with Maxi. I want to see like a fun, entertaining, campy animated cartoon, well, animated feature film, you know, in theaters and then streaming on TV. Let's hope there's not a next time though with the whole detached retina.
For real.
And then COVID happens and, you know, I have a lot more time at home and, you know, again, I want to watch, you know, the world is falling apart outside my windows. And I want to watch something again, a little bit more lighthearted. And so I found this wonderful script writer in San Francisco, who's an actor, a director. He writes stage plays. And he also is a part-time drag queen known as Patty from HR. He's been a brilliant script writing collaborator. So much fun. And then I also found this amazing graphic designer in San Francisco who works for a gaming company in his day job. And he's also animated a bunch of really cool drag queens like Heclina and Darcy Drollinger in San Francisco, Peaches Christ, or, you know, Peaches Christ does a ton of productions. So Trixie, Mattel, and Bob the Drag Queen, when they come to town to do shows, and others, he's, you know, put those, made wonderful illustrations of them. So, you know, he nailed it. These illustrations are so much fun. And now I'm working on this 2-minute trailer that's close to being released publicly. And we're getting things together. We're pulling it together with this incredibly talented animation studio from Los Angeles. And we're moving forward. Hallelujah.
You know, it's so cool to see that we're living in a type of world where this is like, I don't want to say whatever, but it's just like, yay, another project. You know what I mean? Like another one. And it feels so nice to be in that kind of, you know, in that kind of time. You mentioned Supergirl. So we're fans here. And I remember watching that character. Babe, who's the character who plays a trans? What do you know her name?
Nicole Maines.
Pardon? She plays Dreamer or something. Does she dream? She dreams like future stuff, right? So she can like kind of predict. Anyway, I had seen her on Ellen. So I recognized her right away on Supergirl. And I was like, but had I not known, like you couldn't tell. Just why it was so cool when that, like when they actually made her trans on the show was like even more, you know, I love
her Nicole Maines is beautiful. She's super cool.
She's very young. Angel, I see you nodding and bopping over there.
Yes, I just wanted to say, I thought this was so unique when we were watching the trailer just before we started. I was just like, what a creative way to kind of tie this all together. And like you were saying, just to piggyback off of what you said, Aida, where like to think that today, like, oh my God, this is a new project that's coming out. It's because this stuff is still not accepted, but now yet here we are creating different films and different types of, I guess, engagements, because this film wouldn't only talk to us adults, because we were like smiling the whole time watching it, but I feel like kids would also like kind of get a feel of it and think it's so cute and fun. Not to say for those of you who think it's like, oh, you're steering my kid in the wrong direction, but just opening them up to the different things that they will see in this world. I love it. Yeah. I really do.
Yeah, absolutely. And so my target audience for this, we are targeting people 14 and over. So there's going to be drinking. There's going to be like gay dating and kissing and stuff. So families who don't want their kids to watch that, don't watch the movie. But, you know, the funny thing is that families will sit and watch RuPaul's Drag Race together, which I think is amazing because that has some risque content. Maybe it just goes over kids' heads like so many of these cartoons we watched in our own youth that now you watch, you're like, oh, wait a second, what?
Exactly. Right. Like, I can't watch The Little Mermaid anymore. Because, like, she's 15, right? Yeah. This guy is like a captain, right? Was he a captain, the guy she married or whatever? She meets him once, A, saving his life. I feel like I'm always talking about The Little Mermaid. I'm sorry, Disney. There's nothing. It's just a storyline. Like, you're teaching my... That's what I don't want my children seeing. Not two same-sex couples. I don't want my children thinking that, you know, we live in a world where you have to depend on a man or a woman to complete you, to be your entire world. Like, no, bitch. You're your entire world.
Right.
That's my thing with The Little Mermaid. Anyway, so sorry, Disney. Anthony.
Well, I love in The Little Mermaid, you know, the sea witch, Ursula, was modeled after Divine, the, you know, iconic drag queen in John Waters' films.
Oh, I hadn't thought about that.
Yeah, totally.
That makes
apparently
a lot of sense.
Apparently the animators were really struggling with what the character looked like until someone, I don't know, they watched a Divine movie from John Waters and did like on for kicks some design like that. And they're like, that's it. Isn't that crazy?
It is. I had a thought while I was watching the trailer, but I can't pinpoint what it was. So why did I even mention that?
And are you, Anthony, have you always been just like obsessed with drag queens and just that kind of thing?
So
I, for one, sorry, not to cut you off. I, for one, love and adore drag queens. Like, I think it's an addiction.
Oh, awesome. Now I love drag, but this has been a journey for me too. You know, I am over 50 now. And when I came out,
which we could not tell. If you hadn't
said. Absolutely not.
Drag queen tier cosmetics, I tell you, it's the secret. No lines here, man. No lines.
I'm dying.
It's a drag queen in the basement, you know. So sorry, lady. Anyway, so, you know, I came out in the 80s with the whole AIDS crisis, and, you know, I grew up on a farm in Michigan. My parents are both factory workers, so very humble, you know, beginnings. And going to college was an eye-opening experience. You know, my town was like 99% white. There's one family that had, where the wife was Korean. And so their daughters were my best friends growing up. And so Buffy, the youngest of three, she's still one of my best friends. And so one of the characters in the movie is modeled on Buffy. And that's the character of Jay, who you saw in the trailer. Anyway, so, you know, coming out in those early days in the 80s, you know, coming out is a process. And a lot of it is about reconciling shame that you have being gay or, you know, non-straight, whatever the situation is. And also kind of coming to terms, long process, coming to terms with my own sense of what masculinity means to me, what femininity means to me, and how I embody these in myself. And so I remember seeing drag queens as early as, you know, 80s and Pride festivals or 90s, like in a bar in Malaysia, randomly. And I remember being not so thrilled with drag back then. It probably wasn't until my 30s when I moved to Boston and I got a chance to spend more time in Provincetown and really discovered drag there, you know, and I fell in love with Dina Martina. And Varley Jean Merman and Miss Richfield and many others. And then also started following Ryan Landry, who is this total nut job, but incredibly creative. He is fabulous. He's so wonderful. And he does these like gender bending plays, like spoof plays, like Pussy on a Hot Tin Roof and the gulls instead of the birds. And it's just awesome.
I've always wanted to go to P-Town, and I feel like now it's never going to happen now that we left the East Coast, but it just seems like such a, I'm trying to think of a word, bohemian in a way, like, and it's also like, it's near beach, right? Or it's like near water.
It's P-town? On the very tippity, outer tippity top of Cape Cod. It's a Portuguese fishing village traditionally, and the pilgrims actually landed there first. Then they couldn't find any potable water, so they headed inland, and that's where they made their way to Plymouth Rock next. And now it's this Portuguese fishing village turned counterculture village, and so they're year-round, there are tons of queer people there. And going there in the summer, roughly from Memorial Day to Labor Day.
Yeah.
You walk down the street, there are same-sex couples. It's like being in a world that is queer and queer-friendly. Families walking around, straight families walking around who just love going there. They love the vibe also. Galleries and crazy shops and it's just heaven, honestly.
Yeah. So how long have you been in Cali?
I moved to California in 2011, so it's been a whole decade.
Yikes. So you've seen a lot of changes there.
Well, you know, what's interesting is I would say in the around 2000, I left grad school and I moved to Boston. When I arrived in Boston in 2000, it was the dot-com boom. And I got there and I swear to God, a couple months later, like the world started falling apart with the dot-com crash. So, and then it caught up with me again in the Great Recession. I've gotten laid off in technology 4 times. Every time my mom's like, oh my God, Tony, how are you going to make the rent? How are you going to eat? I make it work. I get a new job, thankfully, eventually. So it's all good. But technology, I love being in technology. And technology is actually a really friendly space for LGBTQ folks.
Yeah.
So I hope that if anyone, you know, is listening and considering it, absolutely learn how to code, learn how to design. There are fantastic opportunities.
Yeah. And it's career, there are careers that, you know, aren't going away.
Absolutely not.
And the time, many times. Everything becomes more, you know, digital.
Exactly. We can't find enough talent, honestly. So.
So what else is there? What else are you working on other than Maxi? Is it just Maxi? Do you do anything else?
Oh my gosh. So, you know, my day job is technology. Yeah, as a product designer, and God bless my employer. They're really great with flexibility. So if I need to have a meeting in the day, I can just shift some work a little bit later in the evening. It works out fine on balance. But at the end of the day, I've got like 2 full-time jobs, 2.5 with the chorus also. And, you know, I have been learning so much on this experience. So, you know, one of those things that, you know, they say is, you know, you can't learn and grow if you don't challenge yourself. And this is quite a challenge. But this is why we, you know, work with great people and build a team around us and have a great vision. And then we can move forward and learn and grow along the way.
I love it. Yeah. What's been like the feedback on the teaser trailer?
Yeah. It's been really positive. I've recently shown it to a drag king who is on the peninsula. I love him. His name is Ryder Moore. I love that name. I think it's hilarious. And then also been showing it to a bunch of drag king friends. Yes. Yes. He's so talented. Oh my God. And he always has so much energy. I love it. And through Max, I had a chance to actually connect with him personally. And then a bunch of the queens in South Bay, I've been letting them know about it and trying to find opportunities for them to also work in the production in some way. And they've been super positive about it as well. So right now it's still like in this friends and family, just getting early feedback on the trailer as we've been moving through the development process, but it's been overwhelmingly really positive.
I'm so excited. Can I talk about it or no?
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Okay. Yeah, absolutely.
Because there was a scene with a dog. And for a second, I thought it was like somebody's like tush, like from like a dress, somebody like bending down. I'm like, oh my God, what is he reaching into?
Yeah. So when we see Simon in this little adventure reel, he sees this little pink creature that he thinks is a dog that someone dyed pink. It turns out this wig has a mind of its own and a little bit of its own backstory, which we'll see in future, hopefully, TV series adventures.
It's a wig. Somehow I thought it was like a creature of some sort.
Mm-hmm.
That like
I love how that all kind of played into each other. That was so cute.
Angel, yeah. Any thoughts, any questions?
No, I just really am excited about this. I think it will kind of, in a way, open more doors for, I want to say, like, people learning about this, or it almost seemed like a beginner, like something that I would show someone, kind of like to show them, or introduce them to this world and like what, like all the magic that happens within mm-hmm. this community. Oh, so I loved it. Yeah.
And you know what's awesome? Sorry, Anthony, go ahead.
I was just going to say, building on that. So when we think about like I want this film to be really accessible to not only, and beloved, not only by LGBTQ folks of all stripes, but also I want it to be accessible to our allies. And that's one thing that's really great and somehow magical about drag. You know, drag is an art form, and I love like all flavors of drag, from RuPaul girls to the Dragula girls and boys. I mean, there's a drag queen who won recently. How freaking cool is that? And everything else and in between. And one thing that's really amazing is how many straight women love drag. And so I want straight women to love it and bring their boyfriends and husbands along for the ride and bring their kids along for the ride. And this is, in a way, I kind of, you know, what's the word? Sneakily wanted to use this as propaganda so more people will become allies. It's my agenda.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that's what I was going to say, that like, it's such a cool idea to maybe motivate and inspire people that would want to create this kind of content. Like, oh, hey, look, there's an actual platform, you know, like we can actually do this and make a living or be successful. Mm-hmm. I think it's really inspiring.
Right. To just go off of what you said, I feel like people looking at it who may not be gay or lesbian, but see this art, this piece of work, and think, wow, like this is, you know, someone created this and it's beautifully put together. I can do something like this. Mm-hmm. And you don't necessarily have to be in the community, but like you said, you could just be an ally and just, mm-hmm. It could bring you more into the community.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Anthony, have you heard of FlameCon?
Oh my gosh, no, I have not.
Maybe I'm saying it wrong. It's FlameCon. I want to say FlameCon. I feel like it's FlameCon. Anyway, so they have a lot of like comics, like drag comics, or like just like LGBTQ kind of inspired cartoons and things like that.
Get out.
I have a friend, I don't know if I call him a friend, an acquaintance, someone I know, Ray Arzino. I gotta like link you up with him because he does really cool comics. And he does like a lot of, it just reminded me of him a lot, the illustrations.
Yeah. I've been, now that I've got this project going with Maxi, I've been reaching out on Instagram to more drag entertainers of all stripes. And it's been so cool that these folks have been so receptive to this movie concept and so supportive. And I need to do more to reach out to other people who are doing especially queer comics, queer animation, other kinds of queer art. And if you go to the maxi.com website, maxxie.com, you'll see at the bottom that it says support drag, support queer voices. And, you know, for anyone who has the courage to put these stories out there in the world and, you know, sometimes takes arrows in the back or maybe full frontal even, they deserve our support for being so creative and sharing that with the world.
trying to find the link to show you or a picture of him. I can share that with you later.
But okay, Angel's playing with his hair. It's kind of fun. I love what you're doing with your hair. That's so fun.
I think they went virtual last year. Can you blame them?
Yeah.
I imagine that like COVID kind of just gave you like more time to like it worked to your favor.
Yeah, for sure. I'm a bit of an extrovert in case you couldn't tell. So normally I would be out like almost every night going to see shows, going to plays, going to see comedy, hanging out with friends, doing dinner, all that stuff. I love doing that. And so, you know, when you're so active, I mean, when I'm so active, I feel like I'm having a lot of fun and, you know, really enjoying living life. But on the other hand, it's tough to slow down and, you know, smell the roses a little bit and make time to be creative when one's so busy like that. So I think this was kind of, for me personally, in a way, a goodish outcome of
yeah. COVID. Yeah, because we're always making excuses for, you know, the things that we want to do. We were talking about remember Angel last year at the beginning of the pandemic?
I was
like, I'm always
this.
Bitching and whining about like not having time to do all these things that I want to do. Like I wanted to do crafting. I wanted to do like jewelry. I wanted to do this. I had to spend a whole year collecting items, tools, and this, that, and the other to create jewelry. COVID started. We were in lockdown. Did I touch one piece? No, it's still sitting in here.
I'm expecting a friendship bracelet.
we spoke about this, and we also said that this pandemic would either do some harm to people, but also, or on the other hand, kind of branch people out. And I think in your case, Anthony, this kind of helped with the creation of your project. And I just love that although the pandemic was something that was so terribly like sad.
So terribly sad.
it is, right? But I'm just glad that we're able to, those of us who were able to do things and, you know, use our time wisely are able to now show like proof of our time being spent.
The fruits of our labor, right?
Right.
Well, you know, with the double whammy of the orange monster in office and COVID, you know, this is when, weirdly, probably, this is when art can flourish under really challenging times like this.
Yeah.
There's so much inspiration for art. And, you know, we need more queer stories where queer people can be heroes or villains.
Yes. Yes. Representation of any kind. Mm-hmm. I love it. That's why... Well, a lot of people are trashing Caitlyn. I appreciated that, you know, I guess that platform that she had, more people were, I guess, receptive, just because of who she was, who she is and whatnot. I don't like what she stands for. You know, I don't think a lot of people do, but I do have to agree. I do have to say that, like, she opened up a conversation with a lot of us, even if we didn't want to, you know?
Yes, true. I have to say, I loved watching her reality show. I forget what Caitlyn's reality show's name was now, but I remember it.
It was like one season, right? And it was like a bunch of other... Maybe two, but it was like a group of like her friends that were also trans, some of them.
Yeah.
And I watched it for a little bit too. It was really well.
I felt like she was doing a lot of self-education about LGBTQ folks and especially trans folks and the kinds of struggles that trans people go through.
Right.
And I was expecting more compassion on her in some ways, but it looked like she learned a ton, and I learned from watching her journey on those.
Right,
series.
And I thought that was so big because that she filmed it all. So it's not like she's getting educated behind the scenes and then she's gonna pop out like she knew all of this already.
Yeah.
She filmed the entire thing, so everyone watched her learn, and they also learned as well. I loved it.
Yeah.
I love seeing Boy George on our show too.
Yeah. I mean, we're looking at a person with like privilege, right? A person that has access to so much more than a lot of people in the community don't have, mm-hmm. you know? So it was a different way, but like you said, you know, at the same time, we were also learning with her and it was exposing mm-hmm, right. so many other people to this that would have otherwise, you know, because again, white, rich men, Olympian, you know, all these other things, who has some sort of following, whoever stuck around was exposed to this, you know?
Yeah.
Right.
I feel like there have been a confluence of, I don't know, events or trends that have helped folks become, that have raised awareness of trans issues within the LGBTQ community, or maybe it's just me. For me, like watching Caitlin's show was a lot about learning a lot more about our trans siblings that I never knew, such as, like issues around sex work, issues around just the mm-hmm. challenges of getting legitimate work, or I shouldn't say legitimate, but, you know, regular day jobs, let's say,
yeah.
Or things like this. And, you know, recently I'm a leader for my for the Pride group at my day job. And so for Pride Month, you know, we have this hallway poster series, and we've been trying to do more to educate our colleagues also about things like the Compton riots, and as well as the Stonewall riots. And the Compton riots were in San Francisco about a year or so before Stonewall, and also primarily driven by trans folks, gender non-binary, drag type of folks too at the time.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I did see that there was a lot of, they showed a lot of people in our community. I think they went into like gay LGBT centers, right? And they spoke to a lot of trans people in the community mm-hmm. From all different walks of life, which is pretty neat.
Yeah, for sure.
Was there some like sexual tension with him and like the blonde, I don't know her name. I've seen her on shows.
Candace Kane.
Yeah, I've seen her on things, but I can't think of where I've seen her.
Oh my gosh, Candace Kane is so talented. I saw her perform outside of San Francisco in 2015. I didn't know who she was, except that, holy cow, she has energy for days. She's an incredible dancer. She's incredible on stage, like holy macaroni. And and then she showed up on Caitlin, and I'm like, is there some sort of attraction going right? on here? I was really curious as well.
Because he was like, I don't know how I feel about this, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, she may have changed things, but her mind is still like middle-aged white privileged men, you know, like that has not changed. That did not go in the transition.
You could see her struggling with that for sure. Yeah, Candace Kane is so talented and so beautiful. Yeah, it was wonderful.
I'm like, why would Candace want to be with Caitlin? Anyway, it might have just been for show. Anthony, so we've got this amazing trailer teaser thing going on. You're going to share it with us next week, I hear?
I am hoping to share it a little early, and I will definitely, let's exchange the emails and... the second it's available, I will send you a note.
Can't wait to show this around to people.
Yeah. In the meantime, just go to maxi.com, and the second it's available, I'll stick the link up there, and I'll also have a link to our Indiegogo. Please donate.
yes. I love it. Let's host a fundraiser. Let's do it.
Yeah.
Angel, do you have any questions? Anything else you want to add?
No, I am so excited for this to come out so that I can also spread the word. I think it is an amazing project, and I love a project with a purpose, and this has a purpose.
Heck yeah.
Yeah, I'm also casting in the month of September, so if you have any LGBTQ actor friends.
Oh my God, so many. I have so many trans and like, you know, people that do theater work and all that stuff that I can... send your way.
Awesome.
Seriously, I'm sure they'd love to. All right, Anthony, anything else we should know you want to add before we go?
Yeah, please visit maxi.com, maxxie.com, and that's where you'll see our links to Instagram, to Facebook, all the socials, all the good stuff.
I love the energy. Thank you so much for making time for us and waiting for me to finish my dinner.
Oh my gosh, you guys are so much fun. Thank you so much for having me on your show.
Oh, I really thank appreciate you. It.
Please this come has been back. A blast.
Please come back. I can't wait to hear more. Oh my God. You know who would love you? More even more than us. The boys from Player Press. They'll hate me for mishandling their name. Right? Ritz and Georgie.
Yes.
And Augie. Oh my God. Augie.
Oh, connect us, girl. Connect us. That sounds like fun. God.
Yeah, definitely. Guys, until next time, everybody. Happy trails. Thank you for staying in or tuning in, right? Bye, guys.
Thank you. Bye.
Thanks for listening to the LGBT Chat. Don't forget to subscribe. And remember, the grass is always greener where you water it. Till next time.